your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Just win.
Your team
just
every
win.
Day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome into Wednesday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, flying through another week. We are here again for another show. Hopefully you're having a good week. Hopefully you're enjoying all the shows that you're hearing, both here on the Locked On Raiders podcast and also Raider Nation Radio 920. Not only just the Silver and Black Today show, but all day long. Clay and Pritch in the morning, JT the Brick, Silver and Black Today with myself and Scott Goldbranson, and then, of course, Vinny Bonsignor. He closes things out with Inside the Huddle. So all day long Raider talk. Hopefully you've had an opportunity to check in and listen to the station and see how you like it. But either way, it's been a lot of fun for me. This is the midway through the second week, and it's been a lot of fun. So hopefully you've been enjoying it as well. Coming up on today's show, segment number three, your calls and your texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Again, 707-654-4693. 4693. Been saying that number now for about 3 years almost. If you don't have it already in your phone, lock it in. Lock it in. And one more time, lock it in. That's the number that you need to know. 707-654-4693. That's segment number three. Coming up is segment number two. With everything that's going on in college football right now, with the big unknown, with the Big Ten coming out on Tuesday and saying they're pushing everything to the spring, with the Pac-12 doing the same thing, it looks like the ACC and the SEC are still trying to hold strong, and the Big 12 as well. Obviously, I'm in the Big 12 sitting in Central Texas. I cover them. But with so many questions about college football, and it looks like everyone's going to be trying to push that thing back to the spring, what does that mean for the upcoming NFL draft? I want to talk about how I think the upcoming NFL draft in 2021 will be different, and if you're a smart team, what you should do and what you should think about on improving and how to improve your team. We'll talk about that in segment number two. Here is segment number one, news and the notes of the day, as I always do. And I'll start off the news today with something that's really sad. And this is something that has to do with a running back that's trying out for the Raiders. He's trying to make the squad. I don't know if he's going to make the squad. Talking about William Stanback and the deal with him. Last week, John Gruden had talked about there was one running back missing from camp because he was dealing with some personal issues. Well, that comes out to be William Stanback. And Tom Pelissero from NFL Network, he actually put this out on Tuesday. Raiders running back William Stanback has returned to camp after the passing of both of his parents. That's right. You heard me right. Both of his parents passed. His dad, William Sr., on July 21st from bladder cancer, and his mom, Patricia, on July 30th from a heart attack. Now, Raider Nation, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. I'm not the smartest dude in the building. I'm not the highest grade of weed in the facility at all. But what I can tell you is that July 30th and July 21st is a difference of 9 days. So this young man lost both of his parents in 9 freaking days. July 21st, his dad passed. July 30th, his mom passed. Now, you just can't imagine that, right? That is just unbelievable. Every one of us has dealt with adversity in our life, and we've all dealt with that issue where you're like, I don't know how I'm going to survive this. Well, I'll tell you that right now, I don't understand how William Stanback is surviving that, but he's showing his will. He's showing his grit, his determination. He's showing that he can deal with adversity and how he bounces back from adversity. So just wanted to shout him out. He's a CFL star. He's trying to make it in the NFL. It's going to be a long shot, especially with no preseason, for him to make the Raiders squad. But if there's a guy that you want to root for just because, That's the guy that you want to root for just because. Shout out to William Stanback. Now, moving on with news and notes of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. I wanted to play for you Charlie Casserly, longtime NFL GM front office guy. He's now on NFL Network. And this is actually something that if you listen to Raider Nation Radio 920 and Silver and Black today on Tuesday, you already heard this. But Charlie Casserly talking about the Raiders, talking about their roster, how they improved it during the offseason, and then also speaks on if he felt they were a playoff team or not. Here he is, Charlie Casserly from NFL Network.
Yeah, their number one objective was to get more explosive on offense, and they did that. Henry Ruggs comes over in the first round. He's a speed receiver. Why is he important? He opens up the coverage. He takes the safety out of the box that helps the running game more. Then Lynn Bowden in the third round, punt returner, explosive, dynamic, out of the backfield, a mismatch for linebackers. So two guys there help him on offense. You already got Darrell Waller at tight end. You got Josh Jacobs at running back. Okay, and Tyrell Williams at wide receiver. Now, the key will be Derek Carr. Third year in the offense. He's got to be able to make more plays downfield. That's the whole big picture to get playmakers in there. More explosive plays downfield. That's going to be what they're expecting out of Derek Carr. They got talent on offense now.
You think they're a playoff team, Charlie?
Not quite there yet, and I'll tell you why. Yeah, Corey Littleton's going to help the linebackers in pass coverage. They got better at safety. The run defense isn't bad. They got a nickel corner. But here's the problem. They got one pass rusher, Max Crosby. Now, they brought in Rod Marinelli from Dallas, who has developed pass rushers. Cleveland Farrell, will he come along? Maurice Hurst, will he come along? Malik Collins, those are guys that have to come along. The problem is at cornerback right now. You got two guys there. Second-year player, Trayvon Mullen. He's a strider. What's that mean? He has trouble changing directions, and he's a grabber. What's that mean? Penalties. First round pick, Damon Arnett. Some people question his speed. I didn't, but he was a penalized guy. So the problem is you still have a question of the issue. People throwing the ball, having time, and the court is defending. They got enough talent on offense to be a playoff team. Defensively, I'm not sure they're quite there yet. I still think in the division, they're behind the Chargers, obviously Kansas City, and I think they're even with Denver.
Now, there's a lot to unpack there, and there's some things he said there that are valid, and there's other things there that I think are just silly. Like, I don't think the Raiders are tied with Denver. I think Denver is clearly the worst team in the AFC West, and I think the Chargers and the Raiders are probably going to compete for second. But I can also make an argument that, you know, Denver and the Raiders could be competing for second. I do think that the Raiders slot into that second spot. Obviously, Kansas City is the cream of the crop. There are some holes to fill, and there's some young guys that you're depending on, especially on that defensive side of the ball. But I think that the Raiders roster, at least on paper, and you don't win anything on paper, I get it. Their roster on paper looks a lot better, in my opinion, than Denver's does, and it looks a lot better than LA Chargers roster looks, because again, you have so many questions at the quarterback position. But there was just Charlie Casserly giving his thoughts, and remember, this is the same guy that said Lamar Jackson's got to be a wide receiver. He can't be a quarterback in the NFL. Well, lo and behold, 2 years into the league, he's the league MVP. So take it for what it's worth, but I just wanted to pass that on to you. Now, here's a piece of news that I thought was very, very interesting that broke late on Tuesday. Matter of fact, I was almost off the Silver and Black Today show when it broke, and I really didn't even have a chance to talk about it. But this also comes from Tom Pelissero from the NFL Network, and he tweeted out, the NFL just informed clubs that the prohibition on tryouts have been lifted immediately. And he goes on to explain, since the COVID-19 pandemic hit, NFL clubs have been banned from bringing in players to their facility, with an exception recently for physicals. So the memo clears the way for some free agents that teams wanted to get a closer look at on the field to get signed in the days and weeks ahead. So some guys, some big time names like a Jadeveon Clowney, you might see him active now. Now that players and teams can get him into the facility and get him checked out, see him on the field, see how healthy he is, you will probably see him sign sooner rather than later. And again, I still lean to Tennessee. I feel like that they're the leaders in the clubhouse for him, and I feel like the Raiders are a close second. Now, there may be a dark horse that we don't know about, but I feel like Tennessee is the leader, and then the Raiders are second for Jadeveon Clowney's services. But now that the ban has been lifted, these free agents, like a Logan Ryan, the safety who's still out there, you know, he wants to desperately join a team. That he can go out there and he can make some noise, and he can go in and have tryouts and go and meet with clubs and see how healthy he is. And I mean, that's a big deal. That's going to help some of these veterans get signed. So if you're wondering, like, why are these guys still out there? Like a Devontae Freeman, running back. Why are these guys still out there? Well, they haven't been able to go on visits. So there's a good chance that a Clowney, a Freeman, and maybe even a Logan Ryan are going to get signed sooner rather than later. But make sure you pay attention to that, because the NFL just lifted the ban. They did that Tuesday evening. That is a real big deal. And my final piece of news and notes for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast has to actually do with what the Raiders are going to be doing in Henderson at the facility starting today. This begins the ramp-up period. And look, they're not putting shells on. They're not putting the pads on. They're not popping pads. They probably will have helmets on, but they'll have shirts on and T-shirts on today. But it starts the ramp-up period. 7-on-7 is allowed. 11-on-11 is allowed. 9-on-11 is allowed. You know, again, shorts and T-shirts, but it's a four-day ramp-up period, so this is when the media members, Vinny Bonsignor from Raider Nation Radio 920, he will be on site. Scott Goldbranson from Silver and Black Today, he'll be on site. Maybe not today, but one of these days, he'll be on site to observe this kind of stuff. It's actual activity, and it's leading up to the first padded practice, which is not going to be until next week on the 17th, and they'll have 14 padded practices, which is not very much, but it's what they got, and it's what everyone in the league has, so it's not like they're getting, you know, shortchanged or anything. Every team in the league has the same amount, 14 padded practices. But today is a good day as far as some activity will begin, and you'll be able to hear a guy like Vinny, a guy like Vic Tafer, anyone who's covering the team, Mick Akers, you know, guys like that that are around the facility, they'll be able to tell you what they saw and what they're seeing from the ramp-up period. Again, starting to see a little bit of activity, that is a good thing. So that's all I got for you for segment number one, today's Locked On Raiders podcast, little news and notes of the day. Coming up in segment number two, how the draft will look different in 2021 because college football, most of college football so far as we know it, is being pushed to the spring or canceled altogether. So what does that mean for a lot of players that are going to be entering the draft? Well, we'll talk about that next, coming up in segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. But before I get to that, you know, I got to tell you about my good friends at rockauto.com. rockauto.com is a family business. They've been serving auto part customers online for 20 years, and that is no small feat, man. Doing anything for 20 years is a big deal, but serving auto part customers online for 20 years, real big deal. Go to rockauto.com if you're looking for them. You can shop for all auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers, and they got everything. It's large, small, it doesn't matter. Something like a tail lamp, something like motor oil. I mean, if you're trying to redo a car and you need some carpet, they got you covered. If you got a classic car, you got a car that you drive every day, you take the kids to school, whatever. Whatever you need, they got it, and it's just a few easy clicks away, and it's delivered directly to your door. You know, with COVID-19 going on, a lot of folks don't want to go into stores right now. You're masked up, you'd rather stay at home and have it delivered to you. That's what Rock Auto provides. Your needs, whatever it is that you've ordered, will come directly to your door. And their catalog is super unique, and it's super easy to navigate. Even a dummy like me can figure it out, and if I can figure it out, that means anybody can figure it out. Again, you'll see all the parts available for your car. You can choose the brands, the specifications, and most importantly, the prices you prefer. That's right, the prices. Every single price at rockauto.com are super low, and they're the same price for professionals as it is for do-it-yourselfers. No reason to spend up to twice as much for the same parts. All you got to do is go to rockauto.com right now. Check out the parts you need for your car or truck, and then when you're there, do your boy a solid. You mean, do what you got to do first, but once you're there and you're ready to check out, make sure you say, hey, by the way, I heard about this from the Locked On Raiders podcast. There's a little box. You go ahead and put that in there. They'll know I'm doing my job. That's all you got to do. That's the only time you got to think about me is when you're about to check out and you see that little box. Locked On Raiders podcast. Let them know that I sent you. And I will tell you straight up, they've actually emailed me and said, man, a lot of Raider listeners actually shop at rockauto.com. A lot of people put in the podcast or in the box that they hear it on the podcast. So we thank you. They've done that. It's not very often that a client will reach out and say thank you because, hey, we see the response and it's great. So, Raider Nation, you're doing a great job. If you're going to go to rockauto.com, you might as well let them know that I sent you. Great selection, super low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Now, segment number two is on the way.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are, segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. I know it's too early to talk about the NFL draft in 2021, right? Haven't even got to the 2020 season, haven't even played one game, haven't seen the team out there, don't know anything about the upcoming draft, but that's the exact reason why I want to talk about the upcoming draft in 2021. There is so much unknown behind it. Remember the homeboy Most Known Unknown for any of you OGs back in the day that started off with the podcast? When I started off with the podcast, Most Known Unknown. Let me bring that name up one time because It is such a big question mark. We see what's going on in the landscape of sports dealing with COVID-19. College football is basically running from it. College football is basically saying, hey, man, we ain't going to do it. You know, there's been a lot of different conferences that say that they're not playing. I talked about the Mountain West, how UNLV is not going to play. They're pushing it to the spring, so they won't play in Allegiant Stadium. The Raiders will play in there first before they ever get an opportunity to step on the grass. But Big Ten, they decided that they were going to push it. They were going to postpone it, looking to try to play it in the spring. The Pac-12 followed suit. ACC and the SEC, they're still kind of holding on for hope, hoping that there's a light at the end of the tunnel. The Big 12 sounds like they're trying to do the same thing, which is great for me because I could get to cover football action in 2020 still, where it looked like I wasn't going to be able to. But look, that's not even set in concrete. So I say all this to tell you, if there's players that are coming up that are going to be draft eligible in 2021 and their team, like Ohio State, like a Justin Fields, like they're not going to be playing until the spring, those guys aren't going to be playing at all. You're not going to see Justin Fields ever in an Ohio State jersey again. For that exact reason, he's going to go to the draft. Why would you set yourself up and try to play in the spring and take a chance of getting hurt and ruin your draft stock? You wouldn't do that. And that goes for anybody who thinks that they're a first round, second round, third round, maybe even a fourth round guy. Why would you take the risk? There's going to be so many players that are going to sit out and not play at all because they don't want to take that chance. Look how many people they decided to opt out of the 2020 college football season just when they thought that it was going to be played, but they were still dealing with COVID-19. They're like, thanks, but no thanks. I'll just prepare for the draft. So I bring this conversation to the table because, and this is bringing up old stuff kind of, but going back to what Seattle did, and they gave up a couple first-round draft picks for Jamal Adams. You know what the one thing about Jamal Adams is? The Seahawks know exactly what they're getting. So if you don't have a college football season in 2020, and you go to the draft and you have a first round pick and you're picking like Seattle will probably be picking in the 20s, what are you going to get and who are you getting? And are you basing that off of film that you saw in 2019? So 2 years old worth of film, you know what I mean? So it's almost going to be such a big crapshoot. You know, when we were on the Silver and Black Today and Raider Nation Radio 920 on Tuesday, myself and Scott, we had Therese Paylor on, and he put a really good piece out there on Yahoo. And later on today on ESPN Central Texas, I'm actually going to have Rob Rang on, who is from the NFL Draft Scouts. You know, he's going to be talking about what the effects of not having college football in 2020 are on the upcoming draft. But I would not be mad at the Raiders to go out and make moves. You have those draft picks. Do you want to take the chance and go and get a guy that you think is going to be good based off what you saw from his 2019 film? Or you want to go get a guy that you know is good. And again, like I said, this is kind of bringing up old stuff. What Seattle did with Jamal Adams doesn't look like they gave up a whole lot now, right? If there's no college football season, at least you know what you're getting in Jamal Adams. They're getting a solidified star. They're getting a dude who's gonna just take care of that back end of their defense. Now, there's guys out there still available. Yannick Ngakoue, let me bring him up. You know, one of the big questions, you heard Charlie Casserly in segment number one saying that they have a lack of a pass rush. Okay, well, how about the Raiders? Just hear me out. I know someone right now is about to call the hotline and say, no, you don't give up a first-round draft pick. But hear me out. If you don't know what the college football season is going to be, and if it's not going to be played in 2020, why not give up a first-round draft pick for Yannick Ngakoue, who's only 25 years old? You know he's a consistent pass rusher. Does he need to improve a little bit against the run? Sure. But the Raiders have pieces that can improve against the run and play well against the run. They need as much pass rushing as possible. Think about this, and don't tell me that, oh, well, you're going to stunt Clee Ferrell's growth. No, because the Raiders have already said that they're going to play him inside and outside. So he's not going to be a guy that they ever depend on getting double-digit sacks. You could just know that. Go to the bank with that. You know what I mean? But think about this. Why not go and get Yannick Ngakoue? How about you call up the Jacksonville Jaguars and say, look, man, dude don't want to play for you, clearly. He don't. You want to get something for him, we'll give you a first-round draft pick in 2021, and we'll take Ngakoue off your hands, and then, you know, we'll give him a contract extension. He already said he doesn't mind playing on the franchise tag for whatever team he goes to. He just isn't going to play for them. So how about, and you'll have to give up more than just a first, maybe a first and a third, like I was willing to give up for Jamal Adams. I'm still willing to give that up for Yannick Ngakoue. I'd have no problem with that. And the very reason is you don't know what these guys are going to do. Think about this. For everyone who's saying, nah, but the tape from 2019 will do. Was Joe Burrow a first-round draft pick after his sophomore season? No, he was not. He had a monster season. He led LSU to the national championship. That made him a number one overall pick. Kyler Murray, was he a number one overall pick after his, after his whatever year it was? What year did he come out? He went out his junior year. So after his sophomore year, no, he wasn't. You know, nobody knew what he was going to be. He played with Oklahoma and played really well. So then you thought, okay, cool. Even a guy that I was, you know, pounding the table for, Jalen Hurts, he ended up going in the second round to Philadelphia, but it's based off of what he did with Oklahoma. He did some good stuff with Alabama, but then he transfers to Oklahoma and shows that he can perform under, you know, another kind of system. And, well, he ends up being a second round pick. Damon Arnett, he ended up playing all 4 years at Ohio State because, well, he needed that senior year. The Raiders wouldn't have grabbed him in the first round based off of what he did as a junior. Because remember, after his junior year, he was thinking about quitting football. He was thinking about not even playing because that's how not good he was. He came out and balled out of control and played really well across from Jeffrey Okuda his senior year. That solidified him as a first-round draft pick. So my point is, a lot of guys have a lot of success in a year, and then all of a sudden they'll go to the NFL because they want to strike while it's hot. James Lynch from Baylor, he was Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. You think he would, and that turned into a fourth round pick. Think about that. He was only a fourth round pick after being Defensive Player of the Year and getting like 13 and a half sacks at Baylor. He wouldn't have done that. He wouldn't have done that his sophomore year. He didn't do that his sophomore year. So you think that the Minnesota Vikings would have drafted him in the fourth round based off of what he did his sophomore year? No, it was he got out while it was hot, while he had a nice little title under his belt. The Baylor Bears did really well. They went to the Sugar Bowl. And like I said, he was Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. So that catapulted him into the draft and gave him an opportunity. And he still didn't go to the fourth round. So if that's the case, you're going to have a lot of guys drop. No joke, Joe Burrow probably would have been fourth round pick, fifth round pick, based off of what he did, you know, in 2018. Think about that. So are you willing to take the chance and say, hey, I think this guy's going to develop, or I think he's going to be good based off some old film, or would you rather go and get a guy who's proven? I think you're going to see a lot of trades. I think you're going to see a lot of teams go ahead and move their first-round draft pick if they see a guy out there that they can go get that's a proven veteran and still young. That's why I bring up Ngakoue. Dude's only 25 years old, and he can definitely get after the quarterback. He's an absolute dude getting after the quarterback. I would have no problem right now if the Raiders rolled out a first round and a third round pick to Jacksonville and got Ngakoue. Just because, again, in 2021, you're going to have no idea. Now, if the college football season was going to be played, then, yeah, you know what? Go ahead and hold on to it. You did really well addressing the defensive side of the ball in the offseason. Then, and, you know, you go ahead and take your chance on who you want to bring in, but you have a good idea based off of what they did, the play that they had on the field. But if there's not going to be any play on the field, what are you basing it off of? What they do at the combine? The combine is the underwear Olympics. You basing it off what they do at a pro day? Pro days are scripted. You know what I mean? You want to see what they do on film in actual game activity, and now you're going all the way back to 2019. That's basically what you got to go back to 2019 because you're not going to get the 2020 film. So if that 2019 film is not there, who do you go and select in the first round if you're picking, I don't know, anywhere between like 15 to 20? And that's I'll just assume because the Raiders picked at what 14? Is it 14 this year they picked? I can't even remember where they picked. They picked at 12 and then they picked at 19. So let's just say, you know, anywhere between 15 and 20. Let's just say they picked there. You're gonna get a guy in the middle of the first round that you're not really sure what he's gonna do because he hasn't played a game in a year. I much rather every day of the week and twice on Sunday go with the proven guy. So I think you're going to see that not just with the Raiders. I'm talking about the Raiders because that's what we do, but I'm talking about the league in general. I think you're going to see a lot of players be moved. And when guys are saying, hey, this guy is available for trade, you're going to see teams more willing to roll the dice on a trade and give up possibly that first round draft pick because of the most unknown that's going to be the 2021 NFL draft. The draft is already a crapshoot. You can get a really good wide receiver in the draft, and he was a good wide receiver in college and ended up not doing anything in the NFL. Look at Kevin White. Remember when the Raiders drafted Amari Cooper and the conversation was who's going to be the better pro, Cooper or Kevin White? You know what Kevin White's done to this day after being a really good wide receiver at West Virginia? He's done nothing. Absolutely nothing. He's out of the league. At least Amari Cooper's still playing and got a second contract. Now, he got the second contract with the Cowboys, but at least he got a second contract. At least that was obviously the right pick if you're going to go for wide receiver there. You know, there's other guys like Tavon Austin. Remember Tavon Austin at West Virginia, how stellar he was? He was great. That whole West Virginia team was squad. Geno Smith, he was leading the charge as the quarterback. He's barely hanging on to a thread. Tavon Austin is like a gadget guy now. He's not even a real deal wide receiver. He's just a dude. You know what I mean? Like, just because you have success in college does not mean you're going to have success in the NFL. So I personally rather go and look at a guy who I know what they could do, what they could bring to the table, how proven they are already on the NFL level, and just say, hey, you know what? Unique Ngakoue, you're my first round draft pick. I think that that makes all the sense in the world. College football is not being played. I don't know still if the Big 12 is going to play. I don't know if the ACC is going to play, and I don't know if the SEC is going to play. But either way you look at it, the majority of college football is not going to be played in 2020. It's going to be at least pushed to spring, if not canceled altogether. So what do? I say you go with the proven commodity if it's there and he fits your team. I think Ngakoue fits the Raiders and helps put them or give them that extra pass rush that they may be looking for. They might go sign a guy like Jadeveon Clowney now that teams are able to bring, you know, bring guys in for visits. And if that's the case, maybe that's a better option. You know, and I said it was a better option before because you're not giving up draft capital. You're just giving up money as far as a free agent. But with so much questions around the 2021 draft, I'm willing to roll the dice now, really willing to roll the dice and go ahead and give up a draft pick. Because again, what are you going to do with it in the draft? You have no idea. These guys are so unproven and there's going to be so much lack of film. It's going to be a huge question mark, but that's just my thoughts. So we'd love to hear what your thoughts are. 707-654-4693. Your calls and texts coming up next on the Locked On Raiders podcast.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are. Segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Your time to shine. Your calls and your texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast. Voicemail line 707-654-4693 is the number. First up today, P.E. in North Carolina. He's calling in to talk about a few different subjects, including Vader Raiders' thoughts on Derek Carr, the defensive side of the ball, and John Gruden in year three of the team. Here he is, P.E. in North Carolina.
What's going on, Q-Pop? What's up, Raider Nation? P.E. from North Carolina checking in. Hey, first thing, Q, Vader Raider. Man, that was a great call on Monday. I 100% agree with everything you had to say, bro. I couldn't have said it any better myself. Now, number two, Q, you talked about defense yesterday. I think the one thing, man, about the defense that we all got to look at is, you know, the coordinator, Paul Gunther. When he was in Cincinnati, he came up under Marvin Lewis and Mike Zimmer, two great defensive coordinators. So you got to consider the fact, man, that when he took over that thing, it was already built. It was already up and running. All he had to do was get in and drive it, you know. So it takes a little more to build a defense. Maybe he doesn't know how to build a defense, you know. When you got the thing running, when the car's on the road, somebody else built the car for you, it's easy to get in and drive it. So, you know, we talk about his talent level on defense. We talk about the defensive line. But maybe he just doesn't know how to put it together, man. Maybe he's not a builder. Maybe he's just a guy that knows how to push buttons once it's already built. So that's definitely something that needs to be taken into consideration. He didn't build that defense in Cincinnati. It was there for him. Like I said, all he had to do was get in and drive it. So that's something we got to think about. Another thing, too, Q, you were talking about John Gruden and year three. What are we going to do? What our expectations are? Look, John Gruden got an unusually long contract. He got a 10-year contract. Normal head coaches' contracts are 4 years. So in year three, it's the prove-it year, right? Normally. So this is year three for John Gruden. This is the prove-it year. It's the prove-it year for Gruden. It's the prove-it year for Derek Carr. It's the prove-it year for Paul Gunther. Derek Carr has weapons, so everybody says. Paulie G has weapons, so everybody says. John Gruden knows what we need to do to improve, so he says. So this is it. No more excuses. It's a proven year for everybody. All right, peace out, Raider Nation.
There he is, P.E. in North Carolina. It's always good to hear from you, my man. And I think you absolutely have a lot of valid points, especially as far as Paul Gunther and building that defense goes. And that's why I really feel strongly about the addition of Rob Marinelli. It is so important. It is such a big element to developing this defense and building, like you said, the defense. And I think, yeah, we should look at Paul G. and John Gruden as prove-it years. Now, I will say with John Gruden, he's going to be the guy as long as he wants to be the guy. He's going to be there as long as he wants to be there. But similar to what we did with Tom Cable, table on the offensive line last season. We looked at him and said, hey, you know what? This is a year that it's a make or break. He's got to get out there and he's got to make that offensive line improved. He did that. He did a really good job. I got to give him credit for that. And now it's Paul Gunther's time to do that. And he's going to have Rob Marinelli's help. So I think that that's a big factor that a lot of people aren't talking about. And I mean, I feel like every year is a prove it year with Derek Carr. You know, and then it'll be something else. And then, you know what I mean? Until he actually gets over the hump and wins the Super Bowl, if he wins the Super Bowl, if that's in his cards, then, I mean, there's always going to be something that someone has to say about him. So either way, I mean, it is what it is. He's got plenty of warts. There's things he could do a lot better. And, you know, maybe he'll take that next step this year. I think everybody in Raider Nation would love to see it. Thank you so much for that call, P.E. It's always good to hear from you. Next up is a text from Rob. He's calling from Oregon. And before I get into Rob's text, I got to hit the alarm one time because Rob from Oregon is a new booty. He said, what up, Q? This is Raider Rob from Oregon. Go ahead and sound the alarm. This is my first time contacting the show, but I've been listening for over a year now, and I love it. My question and comment for you is this. When I think about the Raiders, I think hard-hitting, in-your-face players, and I love this about our team. But as we all know, this could be a double-edged sword for our team. My question would be, our future players, especially Mad Max and Abram, both, I feel, are going to have stellar careers rocking the silver and black. But think back to players like Ronnie Lott, if he had not already made a name for himself as he did before playing for the Raiders. Do you feel the stigma the Raiders carry about no-nonsense players will hurt Crosby and Abram? Are they able to play the full potential they have, or are we going to have to get a watered-down version of them just simply because of the team they play for? Love to hear your thoughts on it. Keep up the good work, and like you say, just win, baby. That comes from Raider Rob from Oregon. And thank you for that text. First of all, welcome to the Locked On Raider Podcast family, and I'll tell you, those are two guys that I've talked about before, because what you mean by that text, I totally understand what you're talking about. The style of play in the NFL is not what it used to be. You know what I mean? When Ronnie Lott was making his name for himself, he was able to go and clean people's clocks and lay them out. That's not the way the game is played anymore. Unnecessary roughness, that penalty is thrown way too much. And we saw it early in Max Crosby's career. He was getting those 15-yard penalties for what I thought was nothing. I thought it was very, very little, and he got even fined multiple times, you know, and there was one hit where he had on Patrick Mahomes that was very suspect. The ball was still in his hand. His arm was still up, and Mad Max got a penalty for that. That was early in his career. What I can say, and I remember asking Max this, that was after the Houston game. I asked him, do you feel like, because you continue to get these penalties, do you have to change the style that you play? And he said, I'm not going to change the style I play. I'm just going to keep doing what I do because I'm not doing anything wrong. And for the most part, the rest of the season, Max Crosby really didn't get those 15-yard penalties. So I really feel good about where he's going, the direction he's going. Now, as far as Jonathan Abram goes, he's a guy that I believe gets a little reckless with his body. You know, I mean, you saw that when he got injured week one against Denver. He's a guy that's going to go try to lay you out. He's a guy that's going to have that old school Raider feel to him, and he might get a few penalties. I think he has to learn how to play with that reckless abandon that he has, but at the same time, try to channel it a little bit, which, you know, it sucks to say that on the football field. You got to try to channel those that emotion and that energy and not, you know, deliver the hard blow, because sometimes the look of it is what the penalty is. Sometimes it's not even a penalty. If you go back and do a replay and look at it, sometimes it's a clean hit, but it just looks violent. So, yeah, I think Jonathan Abram's going to have a learning curve. Let's put it like that. I do believe he's going to have a learning curve, and hopefully he learns it sooner rather than later. And that's another reason that it's disappointing he missed his whole rookie year, because he could have worked on that. But Max Crosby, I feel good about him moving forward. Jonathan Abram, he's going to have to learn. So hopefully that answer your question. I definitely appreciate you. Next up is a call from my guy, Brother Marquise in the 305, rep Miami one time. Shout out to little Pitbull, Chico. Anyway, he's calling to talk about a full 16-game season being played, and he wants to talk about lazy reporting when it comes to Henry Ruggs in the slot. Here he is, Brother Marquise in the 305.
All right, Raider Nation, this is Brother Marquise. This is take two. Q, ignore that first message, because I can't go out there with all that stumbling and stammering. Basically, what we were talking about in the last call that no one else heard but you, is that about the full 16-game season being played. And I do think ultimately it will be played, and that's mainly because these guys are very revenue-driven, these owners. They want to make their money. They already lost a lot of money with all the fans not being able to stay in the stands. So I think they're going to have a 16-game season. A question I have is, when a player is put on a COVID-19 list, I believe that puts them on a short-term IR. I'm not sure, and that's part of the question I hope that you can answer for me. But if they're put on a short-term IR, I would imagine that would allow them to just pull up any of their players from that extended practice squad to fill a roster. I don't think, you know, while it's possible, I don't foresee it being a situation where, you know, you're going to have six, seven guys of the same position group out and you can't fill the team. I think you're going to, you may have six or seven guys out, but it's going to be, you know, three linemen and two defensive linemen and a linebacker and a quarterback. And you may have all those out, but you should be able to fill most of those positions through your reserves and your practice squad enough to be able to field the team to be able to still be able to play. You may not have your best players on the field and fans may be upset about it, but you still should be able to field a roster. So I do think they're going to get the full 16 games in just because of that extended practice squad. Another thing I want to bring up is I'm tired, to be honest with you, of this irresponsible, lazy reporting. These people here, you touched a little bit on it when you were talking about the being taken out of context what Derek Carr said. Well, I'm going to say it, take it on as far as when they said Henry Ruggs starting in the slot. And now this is something that the media is running with because Greg Olsen said that they're starting him out in the slot. Well, if you know anything about John Gruden's offense, they want all their receivers to know all the positions. So by that, I took it as they are starting him learning the slot, and then they're going to move him to different positions for him to learn. But now people are saying, oh, well, that means Bryan Edwards is starting and Hunter Renfrow is coming off the bench. No, it doesn't. And that, to me, goes along with some lazy reporting. I think that sometimes they just put things out there and they don't do enough detail and puts everyone in a frenzy. All right, I'm out of time. Brother Marquise, out.
Brother Marquise of the 305, Rep Miami one time, man. Appreciate you calling in. And, yeah, you're absolutely right as far as you can have as many guys as you need to come off that short-term IR. That is going to be critical. That's going to be a big deal. You could be right that that's enough to get you through a week or so. It's not really an element that I thought about, but that is something that's going to play a role. And I just kind of feel like when I was talking about the 16-game season, I felt like the whole 16 games was going to get played. I just feel like there could be a cancellation or two here or there. Maybe a week or two gets canceled, you know, and maybe the NFL decides this is how we're going to have to do it to try to get through. But you could be absolutely right that there's enough players out there that, you know, you can get through the regular week or whatever or a game week. So we'll see. As far as Ruggs in the slot, I think he's going to move around a lot. Where is he going to start out at? Who knows? The slot probably will be where he starts out at, but John Gruden will put him around in multiple different places. He's going to use him as a chess piece. My big thing is I want to make sure that Hunter Renfrow is on the field as much as possible, especially around the red zone. I think he could be a big red zone goal line guy, important third downs, obviously. He's a guy who's a quarterback's best friend, similar to a tight end. He's just one of those guys that knows how to get open, sit down in the zone, and then just make it happen, show his numbers to Derek Carr, make himself available. So, John Gruden has more pieces to play with. He has more weapons to use. He has more chess pieces. He's just got to figure out exactly what pieces fit where. Greg Olsen talking about Henry Ruggs is going to be in the slot in early August is exactly that, early August. So I wouldn't worry too much about that. But I understand where you're coming from. Everybody really ran with that and was like, oh, my gosh, start freaking out. So, I mean, it is what it is. But thank you so much for that call. Definitely appreciate you. And the final text for today, before I get into it, is from Raiders All Day. Before I get into it, I got to sound the alarm one more time. Because Raiders All Day, I believe, is a new booty. He texts in and says, Q, what's good, family? I've been listening to Locked On Raiders for a minute now. The knowledge, passion, and insight you bring on the daily is on point. Listening to the podcast is like the vibe at the barbershop. Real talk, always keeping it 100. Can disagree on topics, but at the end of the day, it's all family. Now, with Raider Nation Radio, it's a tailgate party every day. When you drop, kill, 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 I picture Gannon. He would X his arms as he would be doing his audible. Good stuff, homie. Don't want to take too much of your time. Just wanted to give you props, and Raider Nation appreciates all you do. Also, on the real, who do we have to jam up to change the name of the Q-tip segment? We all know there's only one Q-tip, the abstract. There is only one nation. They know what it is. Let's get it. Again, that's from Raiders All Day. Appreciate the text, my man. And, yeah, I don't know. That was a couple ideas would float around on Twitter what the name of that segment should be. And, I'm not too big on the Q-tip segment or the name of the segment. Not really too high on what the imaging guy says about it either. It's kind of – I don't know. It is what it is. But hey, you know, I got my own segment on the show, so I got to go ahead and appreciate what I got. But I don't know. We'll figure out something. We'll come up with a good creative name. Maybe people can help out. Maybe people can chime in and tell us what the name of it should be. I do like saying, kill, 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 kill. I do like that. That's a lot of fun. And I can picture Rich Gannon as well throwing up his X, throwing the X's up, you know. Hey, this is audible. This is audible. Here it comes, you know. So it's time to change the play. Thank you so much for chiming in, man. Appreciate you. And it's good to be appreciated as well. So Raider Nation, I appreciate all the feedback that we get here on the podcast on the daily, all the support of the podcast on the daily. Appreciate all the support of the radio show, Raider Nation Radio 920. Scott Goldbranson, I appreciate him as well for allowing me to be on that every day with him and, you know, being part of this pretty awesome project that they got going on with Lotus Broadcasting there in Sin City. So that's going to be it for today. Tomorrow, I got some more calls I want to get to. My man Joby One Kenobi in Arlington, Texas, he had hit me up. Ed Joe in Portland, he hit me up. T3 Raider Facts, he damn near did a crossover by himself. But anyway, he's up as well. So we'll get all that on tomorrow's show. We'll have more news and notes of the day, and we'll see what else we dive into. So until then, Raider Nation, as always, be safe. Take care of your family, wear your mask, wash your hands, social distance, and most importantly, just win, baby.